PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Aloha. Welcome to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And boy, have we got a show for you. I am standing near the top of Kilauea, the world's most active volcano. And as you can see behind me, she is really erupting. This is truly a rare, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to experience nature at her most gloriously powerful. To give you an idea of the size of this thing, I'm standing about a half a mile away from that fountain, and it's spewing molten lava roughly 1,100 feet in the air. That's twice as tall as any skyscraper you've ever seen. I personally have never seen anything like it. It's just incredible.
Lava is really hot, melted rock that's pumped up 40 miles through tunnels inside the Earth. Those tunnels lie beneath volcanoes like this one. Sometimes flaming red rivers sweep through forests and fields, smothering them under a blanket of blistering ooze. The lava is so hot, it turns anything it touches to fire. And watch how fast it moves. No matter where you go in Hawaii, you're walking on a volcano. That's because the Hawaiian Islands are really the tips of giant volcanoes sticking up in the middle of the sea. All this beauty, the spiked cliffs, gouged out canyons, rivers and waterfalls, snow cone mountains, and black sand beaches is here because of volcanoes. Most of Hawaii's volcanoes are inactive, but Mauna Loa and Kilauea are still very much alive. Even when they're not erupting, they let you know they're cooking. The earth is so hot that when it rains, the water seeps through cracks and boils into steam. Then, when it's ready, the volcano erupts. This is what Kilauea looked like yesterday, getting ready to blow. The lava is just beginning to leap out of the cone.
You know, volcanoes aren't born very often, but one was born about 45 years ago in the country of Mexico. And that's what this true story, Hill of Fire, is all about.
Hill of Fire by Thomas P. Lewis. pictures by Joan Sandon, and read by Fernando Escandon. Once there was a farmer who lived in Mexico. He lived in a little village, in a house which had only one room. The farmer was not happy. Nothing ever happens, he said. The people in the village thought the farmer was foolish. We have everything we need, they said. We have a school and a market and a church with an old bell that rings on Sundays. Our village is the best there is. But nothing ever happens, said the farmer. Every morning for breakfast, he ate 2 flat cakes of ground corn. His wife had made them the night before. He put honey over the cakes and drank cinnamon tea from a clay mug. Nothing ever happens, he said. It was still dark and the farmer got ready to leave for the field. His son Pablo was still asleep. Perhaps today, said his wife, something will happen. No, said the farmer, nothing will. Late in the morning, when the sun was high, Pablo came to the field. Pablo, said the farmer, why are you not in school? There is no school today, Papa, said Pablo. I have come to help you plow. Pablo helped the farmer plow the field. The ox pulled, and the plow turned up the soil. Suddenly, the plow stopped. The farmer and his son pushed, and the ox pulled, but the plow did not move. It sank into the earth. It went down, down, down into a little hole. The little hole became a bigger hole. There was a noise deep under the ground, as if something big had growled. The farmer looked, Pablo looked, the ox turned its head. White smoke came from the hole in the ground. Run, said the farmer, run! There was a loud crack, and the earth opened wide. The farmer ran, Pablo ran, and the ox ran too. The farmer ran all the way to the village. He ran inside the church and rang the old bell. The other farmers came from their fields. People came out of their houses. Look, said the farmer, look there. That night, no one slept. Everyone watched the fire in the sky. It came from where the farmer's field had been. There was a loud boom, and another. Pieces of burning stone flew in the air. The earth was coughing. Every time it coughed, the hill of fire grew bigger. In a few days, the hill was as big as a mountain. And every few minutes, there was a loud boom. Squirrels and rabbits ran and birds flew away from the fire. People led their burros and their oxen to safety. Some of the people went close to the steaming lava. They carried big crosses. They prayed for the fire to stop. When the booming stopped and the fires grew smaller, the farmer's house was gone. The school was gone. The market was gone. Half the village was gone. One day, some men in uniform came in cars and trucks. So you are the one with the plow that opened up the earth, they said to the farmer. They laughed. You're lucky to be alive, amigo. The soldiers looked at the village. Everyone must go, the captain said. It is not safe to live here any longer. The farmer and his wife and Pablo and all the people of the village went with the soldiers. The farmer found a new house. It was not far from the old one, but it was safe from El Monstruo, which means the monster. That is the name the people gave to the great volcano. The people made a new village, then made a new school and a new market. They had a great fiesta because now they were safe. now, the farmer had a new field. Every morning he woke up early. It was still dark, and El Monstruo glowed in the sky. Sometimes Pablo brought the children of the village to see the farmer. From the field, they could see the volcano smoking, like an old man smoking his pipe. "Can you make another hill of fire?" the children said. "No, my friends, no, no," said the farmer. He laughed. "One hill of fire is enough for me."
In Hill of Fire, the town was buried by volcanic rock. Here on Kilauea, this forest was demolished by lava. If you'd been here about a year ago, you might have climbed this tree. But when Kilauea erupted, hot lava flooded through and wrapped around these trees. The bottom halves burned up, causing these holes that you see here, and the top branches fell over and died. They call them lava trees. The lava flow was so powerful that it destroyed almost an entire forest. And over there are the lucky trees that were spared. Nowadays, scientists who study volcanoes, volcanologists, use sophisticated tools to try to predict eruptions. Instruments like this seismometer measure the forces inside of the Earth, a place no one has ever seen. If you were to look at this planet from outer space, you'd never guess what was underneath. But if you could somehow crack it open, this is what you'd see. Inside the Earth is rock, which is divided into the core, the mantle, and the crust. Under volcanoes, forces in the Earth heat the rock until it melts. Melted rock is called magma. The magma rises into chambers about a mile beneath the surface of the Earth. When they fill up, magma forces its way up through the volcano until the volcano explodes. The magma, or lava, pours out. It runs down the mountain, coating its slopes with new layers of rock. When the eruption is over, the magma sinks back into the chambers again. In time, wind, rain, and sun break down the new blanket of rock, turning it into fertile, life-giving soil. Trees and plants and animals return to live there. There are 600 active volcanoes in the world today, but only 3 are in Hawaii. The rest are scattered all over the Earth. It's unbelievable how much lava can gush from one volcano. And look at this. It's only just one little spill. There are 2 kinds of lava. A'a and pohoihoi. This is pohoihoi, the smoother of the two. It dries in wrinkles and curvy snake-like formations. It looks like rope. Some pohoihoi flows have toes, flat round projections that tiptoe ahead of the rest of the pack. A'a lava is rough and rubbly, much chunkier than pohoihoi, and it's full of jagged, spiky fragments called clinkers. A'a is sharp enough to scratch your hand or cut up the bottoms of a new pair of boots. And just listen to how it sounds. Sounds really neat, doesn't it? And look at this over here. These golden threads are called Pele's hair. They're named after the Hawaiian goddess of fire. They're fragments of lava that the wind has stretched out and cooled in the air. This lava traveled miles and miles from the volcano's crater. You can actually see where the rivers of lava poured over that cliff and snaked right down through here. You know, when you look at lava closely, you can see that it glistens. It's really beautiful. It's full of colors and shapes, textures. Look at these pieces. You see how shiny that is on the surface? Smooth to the touch. But then when you turn it over on its side, see that? All those little holes in there? It's a lot rougher. It's almost like sandpaper or your cat's tongue. And look at all these colors. This one's got gold and blue in it. It's really beautiful. No two pieces are alike. And ooh, here's one here. This one's got some red, almost purple. And you know, lava isn't only what you see on the surface. Take a look at this. These are called lava drips. And they happen when the outside gets cooled and hard, but the inside is still hot and dripping. Neat, huh? Kind of looks like sculpture. You know, for hundreds of years, artists have been influenced by this natural work of art. And Chu Liang, who lives here on Kilauea's summit, uses the volcano as inspiration for his own special kind of art.
Living on the summit of Kilauea is quite an inspiration to my work. One views lava rocks, the colors of the rocks, the formations, the textures, the surfaces. And living in the forest, one senses the quality of the forest and tries to transfer it to the work. The clay feels very wonderful. It's hard to describe how it really feels. It's like touching the earth. Series that I'm working on is a series to me symbolizing the volcano, living so closely to the volcano and creating a vessel from earth to depict the feeling of the volcano. For the opening of the volcano is irregular and not symmetrical. So I tend to reflect that in the opening of my vessels, whereas the rest of the piece is quite perfect. And to contrast that perfection, I create a slight imperfection, so then the piece would feel more balanced. The piece is done when it feels right and looks right. The glazing is it's a process where one views the naked vessel and almost asks what it wants to wear. All my glazes come from the earth. They're all earth minerals that are combined in different proportions to give different textures and surfaces and colors. Kiln basically fires the vessel. It creates a temperature hot enough to melt the glaze. This particular process that I'm using is called a Raku process, and it takes 3 hours to fire. When the volcano is erupting, there is a constant roar in the background. And this roar is just awesome and powerful. And as I'm working, I feel this power coming through me. I feel myself getting stronger. The most important thing when we're working with anything is to really find enjoyment in it and to be able to express yourself through whatever it is that we enjoy and to perfect it and refine it to a point where it can express herself and our environment and the planet that we live on.
The hill of fire that inspires Chu Liang is the volcano Kilauea. But if the hill of fire that inspires you is this book, then here are some others that you might find hot. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Suparna Dutta, and I'm here to talk about a book which has your favorite imaginary creatures, dragons. It's called Emma's Dragon Hunt, and it's written by Catherine Stock. This story is about a little girl named Emma and her grandfather Wang, who came from China. Grandfather Wang talked about dragons, and Emma got interested, so her grandfather decided to take her on a dragon hunt. When a thunderstorm came, Grandfather said it was a dragon's clawing up all the clouds. And when a solar eclipse came, Grandfather said it was a dragon swallowing the sun and then spitting it out again. I think you should read this book because it has delightful pictures and the story is really neat. I recommend it to anyone who likes to use their imagination.
Hi, my name's Liam McAllister, and if you like nature, you'll really love these science flip books by Ed Emberley. They really make still pictures come to life. I like these books because you can really see how animals are growing and flowers are changing. My favorite flip book was the one about the butterfly, because you can see the butterfly flying away and the caterpillar crawling and turning into a chrysalis. I like the science flip book so much that I made my own. It's about a rose that starts from a little plant and then gets a bud, then gets a blue dot in the middle, and then grows up to be a big rose. I think that you should really go out and get these flip books because they make you feel that you're right there in nature.
Are you a big poetry fan? Well, this book, The Tamarindo Puppy, is full of funny and kooky poems. It is written in two languages, Spanish and English, all at the same time. My favorite thing about this book was the funny characters in these poems. For example, I liked the animals in the poem Firehouse. What I really liked about this book is that I learned some new Spanish words. Mariposa means butterfly, and gato gordo means fat cat. The pictures in the book are funny and colorful, especially the castle in the clouds. I'm Roseanne Garassi, and take it from me, this book is full of great poems. Here's one for you called Nada. Nada is nothing, nothing at all. If you trip on a nada, you'll never fall.
I'm standing with Christina Hilliker, and she's a geologist here at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Christina, can you tell us a little bit about the activity that's going on behind us?
Well, you're seeing the 31st phase of the continuing eruption on Kilauea's East Rift Zone.
Uh-huh.
It's been going on since January of 1983.
And this particular eruption has gone on about how many hours?
Since about 7:30 this morning,
uh-huh.
So about 11 hours now.
What is it that the geologists are doing here?
Well, we're observing and trying to learn as much as we can about how the volcano works. And one good reason for that is to be able to predict the eruptions and help get people out of the way and let people know where it's safe to be, where it's safe to build their houses and so forth.
Christina, why is the ground here so warm?
Well, this whole area, there's magma not too far beneath us.
Right beneath our feet.
On this, right, this whole area. And this hill that we're standing on is a vent from an earlier eruption in this series. So this hill, about a year and a half ago, looked just like that.
Have you ever been scared at a volcano?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
But these are pretty safe volcanoes, safe eruptions.
Right.
And we pretty much know what's going to happen. It can get out of the way.
Thanks, Christina.
There's only one thing more spectacular than a volcano's ability to destroy, and that's its power to create. Volcanic eruptions like this one keep the flow of life going, for from the fires of the earth come the very stuff of which life is made. We'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Hill of Fire by Thomas P. Lewis, pictures by Joan Sandon, published by Harper and Row, Emma's Dragon Hunt by Catherine Stock, published by Lothrop, Lee, and Shepherd Books, Ed Emberley's Science Flip Books, published by Little, Brown, and Company, The Tamarindo Puppy and Other Poems by Charlotte Pomerantz, pictures by Byron Barton, published by Greenwillow Books.